Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, host of The Big Story, Canada's longest-running daily news podcast. For 6 years now, we've been telling one story a day, every one of them about something that matters to Canadians. This spring, though, we're going deeper. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt, the inside story of Ontario's Greenbelt scandal. From political games to stag and doe parties, endangered species, RCMP investigations, and Las Vegas massages, you will hear the full story straight from the people who broke it. The Big Story presents Pay Dirt. New episodes every Monday starting April 22nd, and you can get them all by following The Big Story wherever you get your podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are ASAP Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about self-esteem, the neuroscience behind it, the psychological factors that contribute to it, like how you grow up, your friends, your family, as well as ways you can increase your self-esteem and to know if you're suffering from low versions of it. It's so juicy. Oh, and then we're going to do our wedding relay this week. Oh, dang. Mine's about social media and yours is about AI. Damn.
I nailed it.
Wow. I should not be a radio host.
The amount of times we just like flub the intro.
Whatever. It just shows we're real. We're raw. We're vulnerable.
This is not a produced pod. Okay. I mean, like it is produced, but by us for us.
Hopefully not for it. Hopefully someone is in fact listening to this. But
like, whenever you hear on podcasts people being like, "Oh, Jessica, write that down or bleep that out," I'm like, "Ugh, I want that."
Wait, what? What?
So many podcasts, they acknowledge their producers. There are other people who are like editing it for them, or like in the room taking notes.
No one's here.
Bleeping out names or cutting out segments. Like,
it's no one is here. Our dog is here.
Randy's here to do it,
but he's hopeless. So yeah, that's true. I'm wearing my back brace because
Greg broke his back, by the way.
No, I did not. And that's not funny.
Don't step on a crack.
I used to do that all the way home from school. Mom, you're still fine? Okay. Anyways, I want to do an episode on posture.
Oh, interesting.
Because I'm wearing this weird thing that is truly like so cheap. And I'm like, is it giving me a hunchback or is it saving me? But it feels really good. It feels like it's doing something good in this moment. I need to sit up straight. And then I really want to do a podcast episode about posture. And through the podcast episode, think about what ASAP science video about posture.
Yeah, I'm into that because I deep down think that thing you use is not
bad.
Good.
But don't you think I'm standing up more straight these days?
Maybe, yeah. And I'm not like one to talk. I think I have pretty decent posture.
You do.
But I also have a lot of back problems. So I'm like, maybe I don't actually have decent posture.
No,
so But I don't know. I'm always just like, well, I have like a deformity in my back that's just like maybe one leg's longer than the other. And it always leads to like some issue in my back. But
ASAPScience.com/chat. If you have anything to say about posture, it will be coming up in the future. And now let's get into today.
Study time.
So self-esteem, we are talking about today from all different perspectives, science perspective, neuroscience perspective, psychological perspectives, because it's so interesting, it's so important, and I don't think it's talked about enough.
Yeah, I think everyone has like an inherent relationship with their own self-esteem and the concept of self-esteem, but doing this research, like I found it so interesting to see the role of like what friendship does, how like your parents impact you. If you are a parent, how you can think about your kids and what elements like actually lead to good self-esteem, because some of them are what's the right word,
like counterintuitive.
Yeah, counterintuitive. Yeah. And then also just like how you grow up, the environment you're in. I thought it was like really fascinating to think about myself, my own environment. Of course, like everything, it's a spectrum, so we're not gonna be landing on like you have good or bad self-esteem, but I think it will be very interesting to talk about and hear your perspective.
Okay, so self-esteem is how we value and perceive ourselves. So self-concept is what we think about ourselves, which is separate. Self-esteem is whether, based on our self-concept, how we think about ourselves, we think it's a positive or negative evaluations of the self. So it's like, you can have a self-concept and be like, this is who I am. But then if you're judging that, either positive or negatively, that's your self-esteem, which I thought was really interesting. It's not just about who you are. It's about how you're judging yourself.
Yeah, because your self-concept could be something that others might think is bad. But if you have good self-esteem, you're just like, well, I don't have a problem with this self-concept, right? Like, it is ultimately what your projection of your own self-concept. Yeah, that's a great way to describe it. Well, it's almost like you did research on this.
Yeah, there's two different forms of esteem. So the need for respect from others in the form of recognition, success, and admiration, and the need for self-respect in the form of self-love, self-confidence, skill, and or aptitude.
That one is way scarier to me.
Which one? What? The second? The self-love? The
self one, yeah. Like, I understand self-esteem is inherently self, but it makes so much more sense to be like, okay, I feel bad when other people judge me, right? Like, that seems so normal and so human for people to have their self-esteem waver if people are being mean to them or saying like judgments about them.
But this is the opposite. It's also the other way around, which is like also needing people to say good things in order to feel good. That's kind of hard.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you're right. There's a darker element.
Yeah, is what?
To talk about, like, do I judge myself? Like, am I?
Yeah.
And maybe this is just for me, like, it's easier to say like, well, other people are hurting my feelings or I value their judgments, but there's a darker thing that's like, am I like judging myself so harshly that's why I have low self-esteem, for example.
There's another thing I think which is helpful, which is that self-esteem can be broken up into different sort of almost like timelines. So there's chronic self-esteem, which is just like the way you feel about yourself at all times. Fluctuating self-esteem, which can obviously change at different times. And then there's like specific or particular domain self-esteem, such as like physical appearance or just like knowing that you could be like, I have low self-esteem about my body, but that doesn't mean I have low self-esteem, period. Like, oh, I think that's like really good. And when we get to like ways to help deal with your self-esteem is sort of being like, okay, what parts of me do I have low self-esteem for? And what parts do I have high self-esteem for? Because it's not,
That's
chronic self-esteem is like, obviously those all add up to a specific feeling about yourself, but it is cool to know like, oh, this situation gives me low self-esteem. This situation gives me high self-esteem. Which one should I maybe do more?
Yeah. And it's almost self-fulfilling when you tell yourself you have low self-esteem. And I think
it is
very helpful, as you're saying, to break it down and be able to say, okay, I have low self-esteem about my sociability in public. And then it's easy to take that and be like, because, oh, damn, I have low self-esteem. Like, I'm just not good at things, whatever. But to actually step back and go, you know what? It is just in that area. I'm actually really smart in math. And I have high self-esteem at the gym. Like,
and I think a lot of people can relate to feeling like they have low and high self-esteem in different places once you start to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what these studies helped me realize, was like, wait, this isn't just like a finite thing, which people talk about. They go, oh, they have low self-esteem. It's like, no, maybe they have low self-esteem about one thing that you're triggered in bringing up, but they have high self-esteem in other ways. I think it's just like a nice thing to remember. We all have low and high self-esteem around different things.
I mean, speaking of, do you have low or high self-esteem?
Okay, well,
if you had to average it out. Even though I said it's always in different domains.
If I had to average it out, I do think I have high self-esteem. But
Agreed. That
was also maybe because of me reading all these things and then being like, I guess I relate more to that. Because I think obviously everyone feels like they have low self-esteem. I think walking around life thinking you have high self-esteem is rare.
Yeah, like even people who have high self-esteem obviously have times when they feel bad about themselves.
Yeah,
or feel
and
like
I
failures.
Honestly was only choosing high because I was reading all these articles and being like, well, I don't suffer from those, and those are what they're saying is low. Sorry, I do some, but like it just, I think without reading all this research, I would have said mid to low. But now I think
you would have said mid to low.
Well, yeah.
To me, you have very high self-esteem.
Well, no, but I think that's also because you were reading these things. To me, you also have high self-esteem.
Really?
Yes, but they're different ways. Okay, we need to get into the information because I feel like we're just like being vague.
Okay.
Because it's not like there's a such thing as having low and high. It's all.
Okay, well, you start then because I know you've been talking more, but my stuff more has to do with like the relationships between different groups of people and how that impacts your self-esteem.
Okay.
Unless you want me to jump into that first.
Yeah, no, like jump
into
that.
I can start with
the study.
I have
so much stuff that I'm like.
Well, then I'll start with friendships.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of information on parents and that relationship, which is obviously a huge one, but I came across a new study that was about friendships and self-esteem and thought it was interesting.
Okay.
So the question is, does having close friends boost your self-esteem or does having high self-esteem influence the quality of your friendships? So like,
whoa.
Are people who have high self-esteem just like lucky because then they make more friends or...
Chicken or the egg.
Yeah. That's what this study was, a meta-analysis on over 2 decades of research, 47,000 people all over the world. Places like US, Germany, Canada, Australia, like maybe not everywhere in the world, but they just, yeah. I'm naming only
you
white
mean
countries.
The Western white ass world.
No, there may have been others. I just wrote down a couple. Okay. The results. So positive social relationships, social support, and social acceptance help shape the development of self-esteem in people over your entire lifetime.
Okay.
So there is some studies that show like certain age groups are so important, but this is saying it fluctuates all over and it like up until you're 76 in this study, like you can change your self-esteem.
Wow.
They found high self-esteem leads to stronger relationships.
Okay.
But actually also the other way around.
So it's
fun. So having more social relationships gives you higher self-esteem. And they realized it's literally a,
like feedback loop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you put effort into making friends and maintaining relationships, it will make you more have higher self-esteem, and people with high self-esteem are more likely to go and like solidify relationships like that.
Cool.
Now, the negative side of that is it can also lead to a downward spiral, right? Like if you have low self-esteem, right, you're likely to like those relationships might fall apart. Some relationships in your life may not be maintained. That reflects back on your self-esteem. It lowers, which just can self-perpetuate the problem.
Wow, gotcha.
So like they go hand in hand. But to me, the takeaway is like, sometimes you just got to do things. Like you may, if you're having low self-esteem or you feel lonely and these kind of things.
There's like work you can do.
Yeah, and it may not feel good right away. I think it's kind of, it reminds me of the gym, right? Like, but it's kind of like, you may not feel like, if you're in a downward spiral, it may feel like, I don't want to hang out with people because I feel shitty about it. Like I have low self-esteem. I don't like being around people. I don't feel good. But knowing that working on those relationships will eventually reflect back on you, which will make you better at maintaining those relationships and growing them. Sometimes it's just useful to know you just got to do it and eventually it'll feel good.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of exercise. Like at first it is like,
but
actually
it's like
feels
friends.
Worse. Yeah. The exercise
being friends
here
is so hard though.
Totally. That's why at least start with the relationships you have.
Yeah.
But, and maybe put yourself out there, but it's interesting to know friendships impact self-esteem.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's kind of like a lot of the stuff I have is about, well, it's more related to childhood experiences, but all around like friendships. I guess we can get into the parent stuff.
Sure.
Everyone's about to drag
the
their
one
parents.
Link of this. Yeah. Yeah. Parents are highly correlated, but this study was also able to say that a positive relationship with parents can cultivate high self-esteem, which is what we're probably going to talk about, which then led more positive relationships with peers in adolescence, which then strengthened self-esteem, which made them like have more relationships in adulthood. So it's like this compounding factor that if you didn't get that head start as a kid, it's obviously harder to catch up, or
but
it feels.
Yeah.
Harder.
And there definitely is ways you can work on it. Like even amongst a lot of these studies, there was like books, like so many self-help books. There's like almost like journal books with like sentence starters that like are like 178 pages of sentence starters for people to like essentially work on their self-esteem through cognitive behavioral therapy through a book. So it is like, okay, like it is very psychologically something you can work on. Like to get to the neuroscience, the only study I could find was just that like it was found that self-esteem is related to connectivity in the frontostriatal circuit. The frontostriatal pathway connects to the medial prefrontal cortex, which deals with like self-knowledge. It also connects to another part that deals with like motivation and reward. And when there were more connections between these, it correlated to people on surveys saying they had higher self-esteem. Mm-hmm. But we all know that like there's plasticity in the brain. So again, it's like just because there's a neurological aspect, they aren't saying it's like fully genetic or anything. A lot of the science is coming down to like
almost like environmental and factors like that impact.
There was not much like self-esteem genetics information. So it's like, okay, this is all, it makes it more complicated in many ways, but it does in many ways make you be like, this is something I could work on.
Yeah. Although the only caveat I'll throw out there is like, there obviously is genetics when it comes to certain conditions, whether that be like depression, anxiety, OCD, and some of those conditions are linked to low self-esteem. But self-esteem, you're right, isn't this category, like we don't diagnose self-esteem.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's so interesting. It's and why I was like, we need to talk about this, because it's like everyone feels it and talks about it. Or sorry, everyone feels it and like has judgments on it, but no one really talks about it.
And it reminds me of our envy episode because it is like this kind of deeper baseline emotion that everyone deals with.
Yeah, and then like hides.
Yeah, it feels shameful to admit or talk about.
Yeah.
And yeah, like even socially, it's like you aren't, not that you're not supposed to say you have low self-esteem, but there's this kind of feeling that like saying you're envious of someone is kind of a social taboo.
Yeah.
It feels almost a social taboo to be like
I have low self-esteem. But I know people like all
do.
And also judge other people for it. Like I've heard people kind of say it in these kind of mean ways where it's like, well, obviously you do too. Mm-hmm. But you're saying it because you're kind of mad at someone, or you're like, I do feel like a lot of negative energy that I get from people is from low self-esteem. Like I actually think sometimes I'm like, there are people in my life who I think are like way more triggering and way more like just kind of have bad vibes. I know that sounds so lame, but I'm always like, I think they're struggling with self-esteem. Mm. People who come out later, I'm gonna talk about coming out. I always notice that people who come out late, I'm always like, it just is like, there's like a struggle there that I'm always like, I have to remind myself that those people are struggling more probably with self-esteem. Cause it's like they had were in the closet longer. Okay. I'll get into that. So like being closeted is really bad for your self-esteem. So like,
and that one to me is like, is it chicken or egg as well? Right. Like, are you not coming out because you have low self-esteem?
Yeah, it is.
Or, and they're probably a loop. It's probably similar where like by the longer you wait, maybe it becomes like a loop where you feel lower self-esteem, because the older you get, the more likely you are to kind of know what you're doing. When you're young and actually figuring it out, you're kind of like, and this is no judgment on anyone who comes out late, but it's just like when you're young, you just don't even really know what gay means, and then or queer or whatever you end up being. And there's like this certain point where you know, but you're still hiding it.
Yeah.
And that for me was when I was like 17, 18. I was like, okay, like, I don't think I'm gay, but like, I'm bi, like, I like guys. And then I could only live with that for like maybe like a year and a half. And then I finally came out when I met you. But other people might, I assume, have that similar cognition around that age. Maybe it's later, but then might deal with it for like a decade where they know, like, cognitively, intellectually, that they're gay, but aren't admitting it to themselves or others.
But what's your point?
That the longer you live with that, it makes sense that you would like judge yourself for that potentially.
Yeah, gotcha. I see what you're saying. And that's, would lead to,
because it's painful. It's painful to know something to be true and not. That's what I mean. When you're young, you kind of like don't really know. Like some people know. Some people say they know since they were three, but I actually didn't really know until I was.
You are probably just talking about your own experience.
And some people probably don't know until they're 40 and then they're suddenly like, oh, I think I may be gay.
And like, because like acceptance is more clear now, young people might just be like, yeah, I knew when I was really young because everyone was talking to me about it, and then I came out really young, or still held on to the pain for as long. Mm-hmm. But okay, let's start with parents before we get to the closeted thing, because they're linked. But one study found that childhood experiences that contribute to healthy self-esteem, so like ding ding if you're a parent that does this, is like when you're a kid who feels like you're listened to, you're spoken to respectfully, you receive appropriate attention and affection, and having accomplishments recognized, and mistakes or failures acknowledged and accepted.
So say that last part again. Mistakes and...
They're acknowledged and accepted.
Okay. It's like you're allowed to make mistakes.
Yeah. We're going to say
when it's a mistake.
I think a lot of people's like parents are probably like, oh, they made a mistake, I'm going to ignore it.
Yeah. Or reprimand them.
And then it's like, no, they're like, you acknowledge those mistakes are happening and it's fine. And then it's like, if you're a parent doing all that, slay. Experiences that contribute to low self-esteem: being harshly criticized, being physically, sexually, or emotionally abused, being ignored, ridiculed, or teased, or being expected to be perfect all the time. So I was like, those are, you know, obviously don't sound like, those just sound like good and bad parenting, but obviously like everyone's gonna, I think, have a version of all of those.
Yeah, again, it's a spectrum. One thing I found interesting, like mine tracks with yours, another study I found was just like children develop higher self-esteem when they have warmth from their parents, like when they feel like connected and loved.
Yeah.
And like you said, like they're acknowledged, their achievements are acknowledged, but it said children may develop low self-esteem when they're like given too much praise.
Yeah.
And they're inflated so much. It like says it gives a sense of grandiosity, but then they also worried about falling short of those standards set from them. So like, and of course, this is the most annoying thing to hear as a parent when you're like, okay, like there's literally a Goldilocks amount, like not too much, not too little. Like, how do you find a balance?
Tell, like not to judge parents, but like I'm around them all now because everyone's having kids and you can tell. You can tell when someone's inflating their kid's ego versus acknowledging them in an appropriate way. Like it's, I know that people are like, it's a Goldilocks and it's a hard answer, but like, I think a lot of people out there can understand when is the appropriate time to praise and when is the appropriate time to be like, oh, good job.
Fair. Like, what's an actual achievement? Well, it's just hard.
But
like,
I also, it's every single parent, like, I noticed in a couple, there's one that's like it was happening the other day where they're like, oh, yeah, our kid said their first word when they were like two. And the other parent's like, that was gibberish. Like, it's like, that is like what I notice happens a lot. There's the parent who's like, my kid's a genius. Then there's the other parent that's like, that's called baby talk. They've not said a word. Like, I've seen that happen with all couples. And that's cute because it's like, there's a balance. Mm-hmm. It's a net Goldilocks.
Yeah.
A lot of opposites attract. Yeah. Okay. So then using, this is why being closeted, I think, is so hard and why it would lead to low self-esteem is that essentially we learn about self-esteem by social comparisons. And like children are like doing it on the playground, like figuring it out. Like, where are they better? Where are they worse? It's like the positive and negative feelings about themselves are like happening in puberty when they're looking around at people, make almost like relationships, close friends, sexual relationships. Like you're just kind of constantly being like, okay, where do I fall? What's going on? And successful relationships and successful self-esteem is like when you're owning yourself at a young age, essentially. Mm. And it's like, okay, if you're gay or closeted, it's like you're doing all that while like completely lying to yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Which I just is like, okay, that's like so brutal. Like reading this, it wasn't about being closeted, but I was just thinking like, that's what being closeted is. At this intense time where they're like high school, so important for self-esteem. Mm. You're having to like do what everyone else is doing while like lying to yourself or not lying to yourself, lying to others. And it's just like, it sucks because you then aren't able to maybe socially compare yourself properly. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And this might be my own perspective as somebody who, you know, was closeted to a certain age. And I think, at least for millennial gays, I think this is sort of relatable. A lot of gay men, at least, end up being overachievers. And I don't know if it's a compensation or like, A, you're not like being accepted by like your specifically male peers.
That's so real.
So you try to like overachieve, but then you're being valued based on your achievements, which is that thing where it's like you've set the standard so high what you need to achieve that your self-esteem is probably hurt anytime you're not achieving that. So not only are you repressing who you actually are, you're building a false identity on your other things. Like, look over here, look how successful I am. Like, I work so hard. I'm so good at school. Look over there. And I can see that like compounding. And as somebody who like did that for sure, was like, my achievements, like, fine, I can't be accepted because I'm like a closeted gay. I'm going to be the best at school and I'm going to work really hard.
I'm going to be so good at musical theater.
Which is hard to undo that is also like taking a long time.
I was like that too, but I was also a stoner. So I just never achieved that much. okay. So some ways to understand if you have high versus low self-esteem. So people with, they actually like to say healthy self-esteem, not high, because it does people who firmly believe in their values and principles and are ready to defend them, even if it like involves tension or like, you know, someone sort of like, if you, I can so see that. I find that like when people are like arguing about something and you can just tell someone believes what they believe in, that's a sign of healthy self-esteem.
Right.
It's like they're not wavering
on the things.
Yeah, no, they're just like, oh, that's great for you, but I feel this way.
Right.
Like that kind of vibe, you're like, oh yeah, that is like a really confident energy.
To have contradicting ideas to other people and be able to live in them without needing to like convince other people that you're right.
And a lot of it is about decision making. So people are able to act accordingly and make the best choice for themselves. They trust their own judgment. They don't necessarily feel guilty. They're just like, yeah. So I relate to those two. Like I don't like, I'm I'm a Libra, and everyone's always like, you're indecisive. And I'm like, I'm not. And it's like, I want to believe in astrology, but everyone says that to me. And it's like, no, I'm like decisive. Not worrying about what's happening in the past or what could happen in the future. Like being like, oh, I learned from the past, I plan for the future, and I mostly live in the present.
That's a sign of healthy self-esteem. Yeah.
Cause I was like, I definitely I don't know how I feel.
Why do
about
you
that one.
Suppose that being focused on the past means you have low self-esteem?
Well, or ruminating. Like, ruminating is like,
Is it because when you have low self-esteem, you're more likely to ruminate?
Yeah, like I can imagine someone with healthy self-esteem is like, oh my God, I did that weird thing.
I messed up,
LOL. I almost feel like I used to have like the highest self-esteem in the world almost when I was like...
You did.
And it's like, I've now just been like beat down by life.
No, I think like you just became an adult. Like it's a bit of that teenager brain thing.
Yeah, because...
Like, it can go either way, but you had the thing where they're like teenagers' brains don't. Where like you were just so confident. And you know what I mean? When they're like, how do they say this about kids? Like kids just become like boisterous and out there and they're not afraid of things. And like, I think you went through that phase and I met you when you were like this, when you just like couldn't act. You didn't care about the world. Maybe you did internally. I don't know.
But the thing was like, I had like built my personality with like my close friends around this. Like I loved being uncomfortable because it was like a story. Like it was like, I was like a funny, I was like my sort of like strength that felt like was funny. So if I got into a situation where someone might ruminate, I'd be like, this is such a good story. Like I'm so uncomfortable. So I like loved laughing at my like mistakes.
Right. Being able to,
I like, loved making mistakes because it meant I could tell a story. And so I made like horrible mistakes, but they kind of, that might not be like self-esteem. That might just be like a weird tactic, but I still kind of feel like that. It helps me.
Totally. That feels like I've never really been able to do that, but I've always been jealous of your ability to be in a bad situation or a stressful situation and kind of be like, this will be a funny story one day.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Don't take it so seriously.
But that's so true. It always...
It is. You're
unless
right.
It's like actually trauma.
Exactly. Like there's a limit and my brain always thinks, but what if this is a trauma event?
Yeah, but that like, seems more anxiety than self-esteem. For
totally,
me.
But they're obviously linked, right? Yeah, like in that moment, I'm saying it's hard for me to step out because my anxiety is going, yeah, but you might die.
Okay, so this is one that like I feel like makes me feel like I have lower self-esteem and maybe you're better. I like fully trust their capacity to solve problems. They ask others for help when they need it. Okay, definitely do that. And I don't hesitate after failures and difficulties. Sorry, these are other things. But I like solving problems, I'm always like, I can't do that. Like, or like, it's like, I don't ever, yeah. You figure out problems. Like, you're like, I can figure this out.
Whereas but I don't know if that's a sign of healthy self-esteem for me. But maybe it is. Like definitely the other things you were saying, I was like, yeah, no, I don't see myself as someone with particularly low self-esteem, but I can see those areas in which like I do have low self-esteem or like non-healthy, whatever we want to qualify it as. I agree. There's areas like I do feel like competent and confident in most of my abilities, but it's hard for me to evaluate whether they're coming out of self-esteem or that old thing for me, which is like the kid thing of like the need to prove myself. And those like look like the same thing, but are actually
but to
the
me I'm like you're
thing.
Solving a problem.
Well, definitely now that I'm older, I have more self-esteem.
I
am more confident in being like this, I'm doing this for a healthy reason versus like the need for something else
for validation.
Okay,
I'm just gonna read through them quickly just because I thought they were so interesting and then we can talk. So these are more for people with healthy self-esteem. They consider themselves equal in dignity to others rather than inferior or superior based on talents, financial standing. They understand how they are an interesting and valuable person for others, at least for those with whom they have a friendship. They resist manipulation, so they collaborate with others only if it seems appropriate and convenient. Admit and accept different internal feelings and drives, either positive or negative, revealing those drives to others only when they choose, which I thought was interesting because people like overshares. Are able to enjoy a great variety of activities, are sensitive to feelings and needs of others, respect generally accepted social rules, there's you, and claim no right or desire to prosper at others' expenses. Can work toward finding solutions and voice discontent without belittling themselves or others when challenges arise. So those are all like, I just kind of thought those were all so interesting, and people can obviously like see where they fall.
Yeah.
For low self-esteem, these are signs that you have low self-esteem, heavy self-criticism and dissatisfaction, hypersensitivity to criticism with resentment against the critics, like you feel attacked, chronic indecision and an exaggerated fear of mistakes, excessive will to please and unwillingness to displease any petitioner, perfectionism, which can lead to frustration when perfection is not achieved, neurotic guilt dwelling or an exaggerated on or exaggerating the magnitude of past mistakes, floating hostility and general defensiveness and irritability without any proximate cause, pessimism and a general negative outlook, envy, invidiousness or general resentment, sees temporary setbacks as permanent intolerable conditions.
Okay, I'm laughing because the first like 75% of that, I was like, this is just a description of me.
No, it's not.
No, it was.
I do not think you have low self-esteem, but I think you've created almost like a character for yourself. Like, because I see you, I'm like, you are not ruminating on like the things that I think give people low self-esteem in the way that I think a lot of people are. Or sorry.
No, but go through those first couple.
Okay, I know they're you, but okay, heavy self-criticism, hypersensitivity criticism.
Yes, done.
Perfectionism, check. Which can lead to frustration, excessive will to please, like literally not breaking rules. Check. Neurotic guilt.
Check.
Okay, but I'm just saying, if I think of like all like close friends, like people I know, if I line all our friends up, I just think you fall in the middle of self-esteem in general. Just like if someone were to ask me, I'd be like, you're in the middle to top. But yeah, well, of course, when I'm reading that, I'm like, that is Mitch. But I'm like, I think sometimes that you like...
No, it's not a caricature.
But like, I think that like, it's kind of like one of those things. I think those parts of you defined you when you were younger, and I think led to you being an overachiever, and like they did you so good, and now you're trying to unlearn them. And I think you have unlearned them a lot more than you like give yourself credit for.
That's possible.
Like, I think.
Because, yeah, I do agree. I don't feel like I have super low self-esteem.
Exactly. Yeah.
The issues that bother me more are outside of self-esteem. Like, I'm like extremely existential and uncertain and like, looking for the meaning of life, like that to me is, maybe it's related to self-esteem, but those are like the things that occupy my anxiety more.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I'm not really like overly comparing myself to other people or feeling down on myself or feeling like I'm not worthy, or like, I do have those feelings like everyone, but I don't feel like I'm not a person who does that. So I would agree that I'd be like in the middle of a friend.
That's what I was saying. Like before I did this research, I was kind of like, oh yeah, I'd be in the middle for self-esteem. But then when I was reading those things, I was like, okay, I relate a lot more to the high.
Yeah.
And I like, when I was doing the studies, I started the beginning of the podcast being like, by being like, okay, I think I have high self-esteem because these studies are telling me that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that I actually think that, you know what I mean? And I think that there's really interesting research about narcissism and like how the people who think they have high self-esteem could also just have narcissistic personality disorders.
True. That's probably like the extreme end of it, right? Like that was even linked to being overpraised as a child. Like sometimes it could like, and low self-esteem and narcissism are like run together, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That is interesting. I would have thought that they wouldn't, but I guess it would be like kind of overcompensating things.
Yeah.
But in even consumerism, like there was a lot of stuff I read about consumption. Like I'm more of a consumer than you. Mm-hmm. Like I like shop for things, like the way I dress and stuff, in a way that people are like, that would just signal low self-esteem.
That
like
you want to use clothes, you mean, as like a means to express yourself?
It was interesting. They were saying consumption can, like overconsumption can lead to low self-esteem because you're essentially just like chasing a status that like can never be found, like through your external, like for example, clothing or expensive clothes and stuff like that. But then they were like, if you actually spend your money on cooking courses, sports gear, educational apps, that increases self-esteem, like your fitness and what you're spending, what you're consuming. And then they were like, science books was their example. People, this is how it can go both ways. People can feel like they're dumb, so they buy a science book. They never read it. Every time they see the science book, they go, they get insecure and think, and it leads to low self-esteem.
Okay.
Or they can think that they're dumb, buy a science book, read it, and then get high self-esteem. Mm. So I was like, there's something interesting where they were like, not all consumption is bad, but sometimes I'm like, yeah, no, I'm aware of fashion and style and like this way of status through consumerism that you're not. That to me thinks it's like, why am I doing that?
Yeah, but I think you have a pretty healthy version of it. Like, I agree at the basis of it, just needing... You're not somebody who needs to own so many things, but I'm just going to paint a picture. Like, people who need to keep buying new clothes and want to look different, like, maybe are having issues with, like, the need to feel, like, a certain way when people see them. But also, I don't know, I just don't think that yours expresses that way. And, like, sometimes I'm like, I don't feel as comfortable buying clothes because I'm not confident about my choices in them. Do you know what I mean? That it's easier to just, like, be simple and have basic clothes and not overthink that. Like how we talked about in the end of the episode, how sometimes I just, like, cut things out that give me stress. For me, I have come to, like, shopping a little more as I've gotten older. And I was, when I was younger, like, my mom bought most of my clothes.
Which they actually said could lead to low self-esteem.
Yeah, like being, a lot of those choices were made for me, and I didn't feel like I ever built a skill for, like, how to, like, feel confident to buy things for myself. And I still struggle with that if I go and I'm not, like, with you to be like, is this, do you like this? Like, does this look good? I mean, I know everyone has that.
No, yeah, it's a big part of our relationship is me being like, if we're going out, I have to, like, figure out how to get out of the room.
Clothes for me is not a high self-esteem area.
Interesting.
But I don't feel the need to look the best all the time.
Yeah.
But I do have, like, a hang-ups on, like, it's kind of like, well, if I'm going to try, I hope it looks good.
Well, that's a really interesting one
for
you.
It's easier to not try.
Because it makes me realize, like, I do see that. Like, my parents didn't buy us clothes. And I think that did help me a lot because I had
to find your own style.
Yeah. Or they'd literally walk me to the secondhand store and be like, go off. And I'd be like, I want to go to the Gap. Like, they would, like, kind of, like, it is interesting to have, like, your mom buy you all of your clothes. I can see how that would feel like such a nice thing as a parent. But then the research is like, you have to give your kids a little bit of, like, choice, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Like,
I also went to Catholic school. So I just had to wear a uniform for, like, all of my high school.
That's also really interesting too, because it's probably, people argue that's a good thing because you don't have to kind of get caught up in the social status.
Yeah.
Of things.
And there, you're not, like, going to school and the idea is, like, everyone's made even.
But then you're losing the self-expression we just talked about, like, the choices you might have needed to make.
And I mean, this is all layered, like, obviously as a gay kid, I probably, even though I was closeted or didn't quite know, it's like, it was nice to not have to worry about
and clothing. To wear their gay-ass little outfit.
Well, no, but maybe it's a gay-ass outfit, but everyone's wearing
it. Exactly. That's what I mean. I'm like, I wish I could just, we all had to wear gay-ass
Whereas
outfits.
If I had to make those choices, it was like, am I exposing myself? Because do I inherently have some gay thing that I express if I, like, wear clothes that I like?
I was so insane in high school, like, especially when I came out and was so confident, like, when I was, like, in end of grade 11, and I would just, I tried to make, like, my mom's pearl necklaces, like, a thing. Like, I was the only guy in my school. I was, like, walking around with, like, beads around my neck, and everyone was just like, no, we're doing, like, Abercrombie pop collars. I'm like, no, actually, I think it's beads. And, like, it never became beads. Like, it never, but it was just, like, me being, like, almost like, you know what, I maybe had a little bit too much. I just don't feel like, I guess that is maybe a sign of having healthy self-esteem, being like, I don't think I have healthy self-esteem, but I know that I have good self-esteem, but I just don't.
Everyone's got their trigger
areas.
Yeah,
I know. I'm like, we all have our trigger areas.
Yeah, like, I just think, and everyone listening, like, and because I know you, I could point out your trigger areas and you could point out mine.
Yeah.
And there'd be areas I can point out for you that I'm like, it's easier to see the way you have healthy self-esteem from me, and probably vice versa.
Exactly. I'm like looking at you like you do. And also just that mass media is like a huge issue with self-esteem. And so is social media, upward social comparison. All these things are like really brutal, and we're all existing in that now more than ever. So maybe that's part of also the reason why I'm like, according to these studies, have high self-esteem, but then it's like, because of the internet age, it's really hard to self-identify as that, because you're just like constantly everyone's. Like, okay, well,
there's a bunch of things that I'm not, right?
Like, yeah.
There's the 1% of people who are good at that or best at that, that I'm constantly seeing around.
And I love celebrity culture. And it's a lot of the ones that I read was about that. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just constantly seeing these celebrities who live these like actually beautiful, luxurious lives. So it always will make you question your own. If you care about that, which I do.
But I just think, like, of all people, celebrities probably face some of the lowest self-esteem.
Yeah, that's in the nice
for that about, same reason that now everyone is suffering this because we're all so socially connected. But celebrities have always had the opinions of everyone on them. And we all know that you all gravitate towards the negative things. And so a celebrity have, you know, if in normal, like, if we're cave people, like, we're only getting five opinions, but now you can get 500, and if you're a celebrity, you can get 5 million.
Yeah,
and there's no way for your body to actually be like, those negative ones aren't true. There's only 1 million bad ones and 4 million good ones. It's like, no, that feels really bad.
And, like, celebrities, it is, I would not wish being famous on my worst enemy, because what I've even noticed from, like, the little glimpses through our job of, like, parties, like, elite spaces is, like, when I'm like, okay, yeah, like some celebrity would be like, yeah, of course, according to some normal person, I'm obviously better, but that's not who I'm interested in. Like, they actually live in this bubble of other celebrities and access. And like, it's like
everyone does, lives in your own reference point.
But their reference point is so extreme. Exactly. Like, I've been at those events and I'm like, these events are so dark. No one here is having fun because there's so much eyes all over the place, and it's so like, whereas if I go to a party with a bunch of normal people like us, you're like, oh, there's actually joy here, there's fun, because there's like a different level of like human like awareness. And like, you'd think a celebrity would in those places would be like, I own this place, but it's like, no, there's always two people more famous than them.
Yeah,
there's like so much more like negative energy in those spaces than you could ever imagine.
And everyone sees their own rejection and failure, but it's like, you don't see other people's.
Yeah,
so you're like, you know, you hear these celebrities sometimes be like, I had to be rejected from 100 auditions before I got, like, everyone sees their own story of failure, but then you just see like, oh, that person's getting all these gigs and they're so lucky and praised. And I don't know. I wanted to go back to parents and what you can do to foster self-esteem in your children. And one thing is called a growth mindset. It is very important. And that is like praising your kids for their effort instead of their ability.
Oh, so smart.
Yeah. Like you're basically trying to teach them that failure isn't harmful, but like, it teaches you how to grow and learn. And so if you tried really hard, that is actually worth being really cool. praised for.
Oh my God. We're so boomers raised us. And that's so not boomer.
No, but you know what?
Boomers so outcome oriented.
Yeah, from, you're
like,
right.
Their parents were like literally like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like intense. But
it's interesting because you hear people like, I can see this resonating with the idea of people being like, oh, but we can't give all these kids like participation trophies and stuff like that. There's been this kind of backlash against like every kid gets an award, whatever. But I feel like this actually is somewhat related to that, where it's like, but it's healthy to encourage people to try.
We're
not
totally
trying to tell them that everyone's going to become an NBA superstar. Yeah. But like, if you tried really hard and worked hard at playing basketball in gym, you should be not necessarily given an award. I'm not saying that, but like, I still think it's healthy to be like, that good for you. You tried really hard.
Also, it's like,
but also being realistic about like, you weren't that good at it, but you did actually try really hard.
Also, whoever like is those people, I'm like, sorry, but you're dumb. Because it's like the people, like a lot of this is like backlash to, again, I'm biased because I like have a teaching degree and I went and learned at like a teacher's college, but like people are doing studies on this stuff, literally linked to self-esteem, linked to kids' growth. Like a school setting, a high school setting, a curriculum setting, like for in a place like Toronto, the public system, that's been studied. If all of a sudden kids are getting less homework, you know, there's a reason. If all of a sudden, like, kids are, like, not failing and they just pass, it's like, there's a reason. These are not just, like, arbitrary decisions. They're decisions made truly through psychological studies and research about what is best for the most kids. Yeah. So it's, like, funny. Whenever I hear people angry about the new aspects of an education system, I'm like, they're ignorant to what research is saying.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what you're saying from that article is, that do you want a kid with good self-esteem, or do you want like a psycho kid who can swim really fast in the Olympics and hates themselves? it's like people are probably like, oh, I want a psycho kid who swims really fast. It's like, okay, well then you're actually messed, because you should probably want your kid to have high self-esteem.
Well adjusted.
Which I do think is a really interesting part of parenting that I can imagine is so hard, and like I really want to be a parent, and I can imagine how it might think about it every day, which is like, I want my kid to be a well-rounded kid, but then there's all these other pressures of like, what does the kid reflect on me? And like, you just see so many parents getting so caught up in their kid's success, and you're like, from afar, as just like a gay guy, double income, no kid, a dink, I'm just like, you're acting crazy. But then I'm like, I'm not a parent. I bet when you're in it, you just get shrouded in your bubble. Competition. Yeah. And but it's everyone's to me always about bubbles. The parent more than the kid.
Yeah, totally.
Like
yeah,
hockey
always,
parent.
Always,
vibes.
Always, always, always yeah. about the parent. Well, and so, otherwise, you can tell when it's healthy and it's led by the kid because they're yeah. actually like, I really want that thing.
Yeah.
And it's not becoming like as a way to just please their parents yeah. or whatever. Yeah, it's hard because, what was I going to say?
Self-esteem like, is so complicated.
Everything's so hard.
Everything is so
because
hard.
Because even then I think of like parents and the use of screens and I don't know. I just like there's so much pressure on doing everything perfectly right or you're going to mess up your kid forever on either side yeah. of the spectrum. Like the fear of being yeah. too easy on them or not pushing them. Like what if I didn't push my kid hard enough and they may come like, you know, there's always these fears. Maybe they're totally unfounded, but I think.
And so. There are jokes like you just mess your kid like. Ever, yeah. I like parents make this joke all the time. Like, I'm just messing up my kid in like a new, unique way.
Totally.
Because like now there's all these new parenting styles, and they're like, we're gonna grow up, and everyone's gonna be like, you did that.
Yeah, all our kids are just gonna resent us for different things.
Yeah, but I do think it's like net positive, though. I do yeah. think new parenting styles. When I learn about them, I'm like, oh, that is. I can see how that's going to be helping the kid more mm-hmm. than what we had, and like I think that like our kids will be better parents. Like, it's all through this type of research that we were reading, where people are like. Understanding. People didn't even know what self-esteem was that long ago, let alone how to like deal with it.
Yeah.
So like, I do think it's a net positive over time based on science and research.
Me
and,
too. But then also maybe a net negative because we're facing like the biggest crisis.
Oh, like through the internet?
Yeah. Like the this kind of exposure gotcha. To so many yeah. other people and their thoughts, not only about us, but like then just about how everyone looks and what you should look like and how to look beautiful and how to be smart. And like there's a bigger pressure than ever before. So. I don't know. Yeah, self-esteem is really fascinating.
Yeah,
I
one
still
thing
can't land on. I guess it's just a spectrum. I'm just, I keep thinking about myself, and I'm just like, I don't know what I am.
What do you actually think that you are? Like, if you were on a scale, like middle, high?
Like, middle seems such a cop-out to say.
But no, I think you're middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think you're high. Do you think you're high?
Like... intellectually I think I'm high, but like deep down I'm like
you think no. there's other like
yeah.
hidden
insecurities. I just feel like there's like a lot of like things that like motivate me in the day that I'm like that was not high self-esteem motivated, but then I'm like but they're actually no yeah I guess high. It just seems like a lame thing to say.
Well,
but like, it's based on this research I think that more than what I actually felt before I did the research.
And also we are getting older. Like I think it becomes easier as you age. And you yes, see you hear true. Like people in their 70s being like, I don't get why I cared about like you learn to just be like, screw the world. I'm just actually, gonna do whatever I
you
want.
You know what? I think I do have high self esteem and I think my issue is that I feel like I have lower self esteem now than I did in the recent past. And I think it's because I really want a kid and I really want a change in lifestyle and it isn't coming as easily as I thought. And it's leading to a low, like thinking of static, like up and down low self-esteem. I think I'm in a low self-esteem part of my life because like everything like that I want right now, I like can't like really have.
Yeah,
like I don't have
fair.
A womb. I don't like, yeah. like I can imagine like people with infertility issues go through low self-esteem. It feels yeah. like that's where I'm at. I think that's my answer. It's like, I actually know I have high self-esteem. Definitely. If you asked me even 3 or 4 years ago, I'd be like, baby, like, this is a really fun episode for me because I don't struggle. Like
yeah.
I am so fortunate and I do believe that. And I think my parents have like, when I was reading about it, I'm like, okay, my parents slayed. They yeah. probably were like reading some of this stuff, except for the teasing thing. They tease me and it's like, yeah,
we oh, yeah.
tease
and
each other.
And
your parents validate you like maybe too much, but they validated you more than my parents did. No way.
Yeah.
Like my parents were worried about me becoming an annoying bragging piece of shit. And so and like, so, but anyways, in general, yes. Sorry. I think I have high self-esteem, but I think I'm in a low self-esteem part of my life because
of the challenges
I want to have a kid. And I can't.
And
it's
that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that I think is where that's like my true honesty.
And those are the junctures when you have to face self-esteem, when you're like faced at a crossroads
yeah,
of like,
yeah.
am I quote unquote good enough for this?
Or yeah, like, and my life, this, like or? My life has turned out so much better than I ever could have imagined. But this is something I've always imagined for myself that isn't turning out. And so it's kind of like, okay, that's going to make me question my self-esteem because yeah. it feels like my self-esteem is actually like, hanging on this thing, which if I've actually had good self-esteem, it shouldn't.
Yeah, I think it swings, like you said. And I think I'm not the opposite. Obviously, we're going through the same thing, but I think I've come from having low self-esteem expressed as perfectionism, expressed as overachieving. And so I do feel like comparatively, I have higher self-esteem now.
Which helps because it feels like you're going like...
It's a trajectory, yeah. But I mean, like, it took a lot of struggle, I think, to get it in. So there's still those deeper part of me that are like, oh, is that low self-esteem still like lingering and I've masked it? Or did I find a way to reach healthy self-esteem? That's why I'm like kind of unsure. Like in some ways, I'm like, do I have low self-esteem? But I feel like I have pretty high self-esteem now.
Yeah, yeah, I think
but
so
I can like think back to so many of the things that were obviously coming out of low
self-esteem. And you just have like really funny manic tweaks.
Tweaks,
sorry. Like you have like personality traits that are just like are on that low list that I think you like, I just, that I can't even fathom them, that sometimes I'm like, he's making it up. Like sometimes I'm like,
Craig does say that and it's very triggering.
Not making it up, but like sometimes I'm like, he's playing a character. Like, know what I think? I'm like, if I wasn't here, you'd figure this out differently and you'd be fine.
Yes, but is that not a quality of low self-esteem where you need other people to tell you what to do? Well, of course, if I'm alone, I'll figure it out. But yeah, it's like having somebody around. But no, to me, it's more linked with anxiety.
Yeah, okay.
Which is like a fleeting emotion that just make, not that it's a fleeting emotion in general, but it, in those moments for me, I'm not feeling low self-esteem, I'm feeling anxious.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I don't, like, I second guess myself, but
fascinating.
I don't know. Cool. Well, we still have what you're learning this week, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take a little break now and then we'll come back for a little bit more science, but that is that on self-esteem.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
I feel like mine's almost linked to self-esteem, but it was a new study about how social media friendship jealousy.
Social
media. Which is like the jealousy you experience through your friendships through social media.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's on the rise. Yeah. But
is this like with your real life friends, you mean? But
yes,
seeing their online existence and feeling jealous about that.
Yes.
Not necessarily on like strangers online.
No, no. Okay. It's like friendships. Like it could be like this is probably a lot more Gen Z. And I hear like people on podcasts will be like, yeah, we were Twitter friends. I'm like, how is that possible? They'd be like, we talked on Twitter every day. And it was just like, what? Like, there's like obviously relationships that I don't relate to. I'm like, I've never messaged anyone on Twitter. Like, I'm a millennial. And like, so
you were never like a chronically online person. You might be now, but I feel like, and I don't do this anymore, but I used to engage in like so many forums and stuff.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, like, it could be social media friendship jealousy, as in like they are actually your friends only on social media, but that's not what I took away from these studies. And it was just that women reported more social media friendship jealousy than men, and younger women at the highest levels of social media friendship jealousy compared with younger men, and older women. So it's just like, this is like a struggle specifically for more people. Anxious and depressed adults are predisposed to monitor the threats to their friendship via social media and experience negative consequences of this behavior. So they're kind of on social media looking at other people, like their friends have maybe having fun without them, and seeing it as a threat.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, oh, that's so fun.
As like, oh, that's nice for them.
Yeah. And also they're like, it's a sign that you have friends if you're even thinking this. Like you have to have friends to almost be like jealous
of them.
Yeah. Which they were like, some men might not even like have friends was like kind of a really dark part of the study.
Yeah.
And just that like, usually jealousy is studied through like a sexual romantic lens, but they were just saying like, okay, friendships are so important. Like they are so incredible for like longevity of life. They have so many positive outcomes, like lower loneliness, greater happiness, all these amazing things that, like, even like survivability of your offspring, like, it's all linked to like evolutionary biology, why friends are so important. But they're like, we need to not ignore that it can lead to jealousy, especially in the internet age. Mm-hmm. That like friendships.
Right. It's beautiful, yeah. But there's a double-edged.
Which I thought was really interesting because I was kind of like, huh, this is like, jealousy is a distinct yet complex aversive emotional response to real or imagined threat to your valued relationship with friends and lovers. And I was like, okay, that's really interesting. And like, obviously it's back to like, truly the internet is so fucked. Your phone is so messed because their whole point is you're not like, your friends are allowed to go hang out without you. And you wouldn't have seen it in the past. And you would have found out later when you were hanging out with your friend. They'd tell you. It's like, you're just watching it happen. And it like, you're feeling these negative thoughts, which probably aren't real.
I'm just like spiraling around the idea of like, I guess we're never able to go back. Like,
no.
Well, part of me wonders if the future, like these kind of issues will become so serious that there'll be some alternative. Like, I know we'll never go back to the way things were, but will there be a time in history when people are just like not having these problems?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's really like, funny. Realizing like,
it's not that healthy to be so connected to everything.
Well, there is like, so like, I mean, I'm obviously just internalizing my own worldview, but that's all life is. But like, feels like for me, like all this science I'm reading, the book I just read, Stolen Focus, all the, even TikToks, like people are onto it. Mm-hmm. People are like, no one thinks these app companies, like everyone looks at Zuckerberg and Elon Musk and anyone who made Twitter and they're like, yeah, evil.
It's like, this is the smoking of our generation.
Yeah. And people even like in the book, they know there's a lot of these like people who created social media who like will not let their kids have social media. They're completely like panicking, realizing they like ruined the world.
Maybe I'm trying to think of it in the lens of smoking, right? Like people still smoke.
Yeah.
It's still available, but more people are just more educated on understanding that it's super addictive.
And they make their decisions with, but the book ends with like, okay, there's this thing I did buy called like a key safe where you literally lock your phone with a timer into this thing. And I bought it and it's amazing. Like I locked my phone for the last three nights for 15 hours and it is incredible. And I realized how often I would have actually just gone to my phone for something.
Yeah. Just a moment and, of like, ooh, yeah. I just want to check it. Like,
so he like had these cool practical versions. That's a great one. Everyone look into key safes. In fact, we should just like make one. We'd be so rich. Number two, he's like, it's not about those small things you can do alone. Cause it's so invasive and designed so manipulatively that he is like, the only way this can happen is regulation. He's like, there needs to be regulation from a governmental standpoint against these apps.
How they tap into your need for them.
Like truly it is about like capitalism.
It okay, but about, then it's worth thinking about food because there's even been challenges for food on that. Like food is designed to be extremely tasty, high calorie, not very nutritious, make you hungry. Of course, food is regulated heavily, but especially not in America. That it's like, how do we, I guess you're right, but it's like, that's going to be the push and pull struggle,
it's going to be a
right?
huge challenge, and we can't ever expect that it's going to come up like on solved. A way that works. Yeah. But hopefully. It was interesting to hear this really well-researched book end with regulation, this word that I kind of thought, like, it's not going to go there. That's too, like, high in the sky. Mm-hmm. But his whole point was, like, he was written by a gay guy. He's like, I couldn't get married this many years ago. Women couldn't even vote this many years ago. Like, things do change. And, like, we're so new into this crisis that
there's enough.
We're allowed to talk about it being regulated.
Yeah.
Totally. Right. Yeah.
Okay, well, speaking of regulation, and this is, by the time this comes out, it's going to be a little bit old news. Sorry about that. We're recording this early. You've probably seen OpenAI release like a new model named Sora. I made a little TikTok and short and Instagram reel about it, as did everyone else in the world. But it's basically, and you know, podcast is just the perfect medium to describe this. It's like they now you can just like type in a text description, like a man walking down and falls down on a sidewalk, and it will like render a video that is that realistic looking.
So crazy.
Like, of course, if you stare at these videos, you might be able to find imperfections, but on first glance, like they are really impressive considering
they're like beautiful
and considering how fast it's developed, like this will only continue to develop.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a lot of fear right now around like misinformation and how easy it is to produce. So this idea that now you can render out full footage of anything. So, you know, we all saw like, years ago now, like that image of the Pope wearing like the jacket, like the Balenciaga jacket or whatever, that was really cool. And then we realized, oh, that wasn't real. Now it's like there could be a video of that. That would be even more convincing because he'd be walking around in it giving a speech. And it's like the level and speed that this is happening is kind of spooky. Obviously it's cool in some ways because like to be able to just like create that is awesome.
Yeah.
And fun to be like, I want to type something and see what I can create.
Feels cool.
But we're just like heading, it is so wild. And
speaking of regulation,
just being like, this is going to cause not only like a huge wave of changes in the way that like, think of how many people like spend their livelihood like creating B-roll footage, creating commercials, creating movies, like animators, like things like that are necessary. I don't know what the legal whatever is for this, because obviously there's been controversy in the written end of things where they're like, they're stealing this from writers. Like this is stolen from a writer's voice. So maybe the footage will take the same thing where it's like, it's actually just referencing other footage and that's stolen. You can't just use that in a commercial for free. But I don't actually know.
It's so interesting. I mean, we do have a whole podcast on AI you can listen to where we talk about a lot of these issues. But like those videos are crazy. You should look them up.
If you haven't seen these clips from OpenAI, it's worth looking at. I just thought it was kind of fascinating.
It is.
And like to think, I saw a good MKBHD video where he compared like 1 year ago a text.
The Will Smith one?
Yeah it looks like, it's hilarious. Black. It looks bad. It looks funny. And that.
Now it's not funny.
Yeah. His whole point was like, this is the worst it will ever be right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it only gets crazier from here. And that happened in a year. So I know a lot of this gets overhyped, but it's still like, wow, it did shock me. For sure.
Yeah. And I think so. Just go watch the videos and you can make a decision for yourself, but they're pretty amazing.
Anyway.
Sora. Okay.
Well,
thanks so much. We'll be chatting next week. And I
hope you had a little boost of self-esteem. Yeah. See you later.
Kisses.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.